Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
I think sometimes I say things and I'm not communicating very well because I don't think you're really understanding exactly what I'm saying. It's kind of like texting. You know, if you want to have a misunderstanding, try to converse with somebody through texts. There's no tone, there's no attitude, there is just words, and it is so, I've had people get so offended at me, and I'm like, I don't know why you're mad, because that's not what I meant. But if you have your Bible, if you would, open it, please, to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the 54th chapter, Isaiah 54. I think you need to see this. So good, Lord. You're so good. I am so thankful for the weather. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but it doesn't take long for me to get all the 100 degrees that I want. It only takes anything less than zero would be acceptable. Isaiah 54. Verse 16 says this, "Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coal in the fire, who brings forth an instrument or a tool for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy." I want to focus on those last words. "And I have created the spoiler to destroy." I want to talk to you this morning about God versus evil. God versus evil. And in order for us to get a grasp on this, we have to understand that God created evil. That's what he said right there. "And I have created the spoiler to destroy." I've created the spoiler to destroy. He said he's no different than a blacksmith making a tool to use. That's all the enemy is. He's a tool that God uses. I listened to one Christian comedian, and I can't remember his name. If Rusty was here, he could help me because he likes him too. He's not for everybody. My sense of humor isn't like everybody else's. But he said, "When I was born, my parents became Christian." He said, "And they were the most Christian." He grew up in the 80s. And back in those days, people were the most Christian. He said, when the Simpsons came on TV, he was like, "Oh, great. Now we have R-rated TV." And most people look at the Simpsons today and they don't look at it like R-rated TV. He said, "Back when I was a kid," he said, "if somebody said you suck," he said, "that means you're stuck to a life of drugs and prison. That's all you could hope for. That's how bad a word that was." He said, "Nowadays people say it and don't think anything about it." The same is true for the word tool. If God calls you a tool, that is not a compliment. If somebody else calls you that, if somebody calls you that and you're thinking, "Well, that's good. Tools can fix it." They're not saying you can fix things. They're saying, you're just usable to me. And that's what God is trying to get across to us about the enemy. He is usable to God. And people struggle with this. And before the morning's out, I hope that I've made this clear. Because I believe with all my heart I've heard the word of the Lord. And in order to catch a glimpse of this, we've got to understand a couple of things. And this is foundational in my teaching, has been for a long, 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 long time. You've got to believe that God is good. If you don't believe that, this Bible is going to be really hard for you. You've got to believe that God is good. And the second thing is, you've got to believe that God loves you. You've got to believe that God personally, intimately, deeply loves you. You've got to believe that. If you don't believe that, the Bible is going to be impossible for you. Christianity is going to be difficult for you. And you might just say, well, I just reject all of it. And it's no different than saying, I reject gravity. And even though gravity is so observable, and hardly anyone would say gravity does not exist, in order for you to catch a glimpse of what you're saying when you said, I'm not going to believe the Bible, you might as well say, I don't believe in gravity. Because the effects of the scripture on your life are more certain than gravity. You can say, I don't believe in gravity, and you go out and step off a 10-story building, and it really doesn't matter what you believe. And you can say, I do not believe the Bible, but when your heart stops beating and you stand before the judge of the universe, it won't matter that you didn't believe the Bible. Your belief system will be insignificant. But if you can ever bring yourself to a place where you know that God is good. You say, well, how can he be good? You just said he created the devil. How can God possibly be good if he created the devil? Well, how can he not demonstrate his goodness unless we understand evil? That word spoiler could just as easily be translated destroyer. And God is saying, I've created the destroyer to destroy. And you might say, what's that all about? How would we ever know good and God except evil revealed itself? How would we ever reach out to God with free will if God allowed goodness to prevail outside of himself? How could we ever know good and God if God allowed goodness to exist outside of himself? I hope this isn't complicated for you, because this is, I believe, such the essence of what God is trying to do in his people. I want you to suppose this morning that God kept us from every trace of evil. We are born, we grow up in life, and we never experience evil a single time. No evil of any kind ever touches us. And 6,000 years of this goes on. What kind of shape do you suppose humanity would be in? What would we call a child that was raised such a way? No discipline, no correction, no consequence for behavior. You stick the fork in the electric outlet, nothing else, and nothing ever happens. Have you ever seen a kid that was raised under similar circumstances? It doesn't have to go 6,000 years. By the time 4 years has come to a conclusion, if your child that was born to you is not able to get along with other kids, it's because you raised them without the consequences of evil in their lives. What do we call a kid raised like that? Spoiled, rotten, and I add brat. And that's all we're going to be if evil never touches our lives. Imagine God simply allowing us to live happy, healthy lives outside of himself, his principles, his ways. In other words, he leaves us to our godlessness and he gives us all of his goodness outside of himself. We're just going to be spoiled. He blesses us in despite of our utter disregard for Him. We know no suffering, we know no pain, we know no correction, we know no challenges, no opposition. Suppose God allows us to live our lives free from Him, free from trouble. He leaves us to ourselves, our will, our plans, our ambitions, and God never crosses our minds. Because that's what we're asking for when we want to live in goodness outside of God. Why does God allow this? Because the devil is a tool. I was wondering how this was going to go over. I believe with all my heart that if that were the case, that it would not take long that we would believe our own goodness caused all the blessing to be on our lives. I believe we'd take credit for all the good in our lives. I believe God had to create evil in order for us to know the source of good. And I want to talk to you today about God versus evil. Thus, I want to get this through to you today, that God is going to use evil to open our eyes to Himself. And if you don't believe God is good, and if you don't believe God loves you, this is going to be so hard to swallow. You're going to have the hardest time with this if you think God is just this vindictive, evil person that is just always trying to crush our hopes, our dreams, our ambitions, and our joy. If you think God is always out to get you, that He's always just waiting on you to mess up a single time so He can slap you around again, you do not understand the goodness of God and the concept of Him conforming you to the image of His dear Son. You don't understand what it is that God is trying to accomplish in the earth through the sacrifice of His Son. If you could just comprehend the gospel with me this morning, that mankind is on this plane right here, and there are very few people in the world that will not admit, I don't care if they're atheists, agnostic, Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, I don't care what they are, most people in the world will admit that mankind is messed up. I mean, we got mamas putting babies in dumpsters. We got daddies killing their own babies, killing the mother of their children. We have drug addiction and abuse and corruption. I mean, we have so much corruption in this nation at the highest level. It is beyond comprehension how we could have gotten to this place. And the Lord says, that's right. Thank you, Lord. Almost everybody will agree that mankind is a mess. And God, I heard one guy talking about it, and he put mankind right here, and he put God right here. But that's not how it is. Mankind is right here, and God is out of sight. He is so far above us that it is beyond comprehension how we could ever get to Him. And yet every religion in the world, except one, says, now you got to try really hard to do really good and be better in order. You got to lift yourself up to where I'm at. But one religion in the world said, there is no way that you all are ever going to get to where I'm at. So before I even created the world, I had my Son step out of His glory, and He became just like you. And I'm not asking you to come to me. I'm sending Him down to you. Woo. If you could just comprehend with me this morning what God has done. God created evil for a tool, and yet so many people have fallen prey to it and fallen into such a mess. It says actually that all of us have. But at least some of us want to get to God. And he said, I will come and I will destroy the power of evil that I've created in order for you to come be with me. God didn't cause anybody to sin. That God is not the author of sin. He didn't tempt anybody to sin. That's within our own nature. That's the free will within us. We wanted to choose to cave into evil. We were enticed by it. And if we'll be honest, it's still enticing. That's why Paul said, I die daily. It means every day I've got to say no to myself. Every day I've got to not cave in to the desire to talk about other people. It's called gossip. God hates it. And some of the most pious among us think it's okay to do it. God says it's evil. Cause division among the brethren. We have got to every day to put a death to that thing that would cause us to, well, you know what they're, you know what sister so and so is doing? You need to pray about this. Somebody the other day asked me what I thought about something. I said I had to go put my rocks at Jesus' feet. I can't throw them. I hope you get that. I had to go put my rocks at Jesus' feet. I can't throw them. The only one among us that had every right to throw the rocks, put them down. She had succumbed to evil. And instead of throwing rocks at her, Jesus said, I can fix this. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. In Genesis chapter 32, I want to talk to you today about God versus evil. Yes, he created it. Well, I just don't understand. Well, join the human race. Who understands all this stuff? Who comprehends all of this stuff? Nobody. God did not call us to walk by understanding. God called us to walk by faith. To trust that he is a good God. And he loves me. He loves me so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for me, to conquer the evil that's destroying me, because God said, I am pitting myself against evil. I put evil in the world so the world could know my goodness, but I will conquer evil on your behalf if you'll receive it by faith. Genesis 32, verse 22. I don't know where all we're going this morning. It's talking about Jacob, and he rose early that night, took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. The New King James capitalizes the word man, the M in man. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Now, I told you last week, and there's no way I can actually prove it's Jesus, but I believe it's Jesus that Jacob is wrestling here, because the man, capital M-A-N, said, you've wrestled with man and God. So who else qualifies for that? Jesus Christ is the Son of Man and the Son of God. He's the only one that is the Son of God and the Son of Man. So it's obvious to me. People say it's an angel. A man can't wrestle an angel. One angel was sent into the Assyrian camp, killed 185,000 men in one night. You don't wrestle with that. We need to be really glad that God does not let angels touch us. I'll move on. See, y'all are a rough crowd this morning. Jesus is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus stepped out of his glory before the beginning. God knew all along what was going to happen here. He knew what it was going to take. I am convinced of that. Psalm 139 tells us, and you've heard me talk about this before, before we were ever born, God wrote a book about us. He has a great plan for us. And see, we are so caught up in our understanding and in all of the things that go through our mind and our rationale and our intellect and our intelligence that we allow what we see and what we understand and what we perceive to knock us out of the plan that God has for us. And Paul tells us in Romans that the plan of God for us is good and perfect and pleasing, and all we have to do is just throw ourselves on the altar of God, and God will bring it to pass. But we want to hang on to we want control. And so we run our lives as we see fit, and I should say we ruin our lives as we see fit. Because we will never see the plan of God fulfilled in our lives as long as we're the ones steering the car. But when we get our hands off the wheel and get in the trunk and say, you drive, Jesus, He will take us places that we would never be able to get any other way. He will do things through us that we would never be able to accomplish on our own. You look at the men and women that God have used through the centuries, and many of them are just such simple people. Jackie Pullinger could not get a single missionary conference to support her in any way. She sold everything she had for a one-way boat ticket, a ship ticket to Hong Kong, and single-handedly, she and Jesus tore down the walls in the walled city. It was a place that there was nothing but opioid addiction, gangs, and prostitution. And one woman went there. Everybody said, don't go there. We will not support you. Nobody's behind you in this. She said, but God told me to go. She went there in 1966. And I can't remember, I think it was in the 90s, like 96, somewhere after 95, the government of Hong Kong said, tear down the wall. They had built this wall up around this portion of the city, trying to keep the crime out of the rest of the city. And one woman surrendered to God, went and turned that city upside down. God has a plan for you. You say, well, I don't want to be used like that. And I'm like, I don't know why. Why not? What you're holding on to, is it that valuable? Is it that important that you're willing to sacrifice the plan that God has for you over your own thinking? Good friend of mine was laying on his bunk in Granite Penitentiary. And he was looking up at the rock ceiling, because they call it granite because it's made of rock. And he said, my best thinking landed me here. So I ask you the question this morning, where has your best thinking landed you? Where are you at right now, this morning? Those that are watching via technology, where has your thinking landed you today? Where are you at? What are you doing? What is the impact that you're having on the world for Jesus? If we'll just be honest, and we'll just be honest and say, as long as I'm in control, this thing is not going very far. But the minute that we relinquish the reins to the Lord Jesus. Now, I told you last week that I didn't believe Jacob would stand a chance against an angel, but he wrestled the Lord Jesus. And I believe that this is what was taking place that day. In Isaiah 61, these are all very familiar passages. I've been here for months. Isaiah 61 verse 2 says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God. I believe Jesus was wrestling the evil that had ruled Jacob up to that point. God is taking vengeance not on us. See, that's where we get all messed up. We think God is not good. He's after me. If God were after you, you'd have already been gone. Because there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. He knows everything. He knows every thought that you've ever had. He knew every thought you had this morning. He knew every action you've ever done. He has seen every struggle that I've ever had. He's seen every besetting sin. He's seen all of the television shows and the movies and the thoughts and everything else that has went through my body and my mind. He's seen it all. Nothing escaped his attention. And yet I'm still standing here. If he was after me, I would have been dead 40 years ago. The only way he's after me is to draw me to himself. And he is at war with the evil that is within us to conquer it. He takes vengeance on his enemies. You are not an enemy of God if you are born again. You are a child of God. Did you wonder why, when we were singing that just a little bit ago, when we were declaring, I am a child of God, did you not feel what was in this place when we were doing that? That's who you are. You're not an enemy of God. God created evil, but you're not it. And he's at war with the evil. And when we begin to understand how good he is and how much he loves us, that when he's executing vengeance, it is not against us. And even when it's executing the vengeance of the evil that is within us, it's not us he's out to destroy. He's out to destroy what's destroying us. And when you begin to trust God, when you begin to know that he is good, when you begin to know that he loves you in spite of everything you did today. When you begin to know that, And you sense that there's a war taking place within you, you begin to understand, God is not warring me. God is at war with those things that are destroying me. He executes vengeance against his enemies. That which is destroying you, he's destroying. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's bitterness. I don't know if it's torment. I don't know if it's guilt. I don't know if it's shame. I don't know what is trying to tear you up. But I came here today to tell you that it is God versus evil. And if you will just keep after him, God will prevail. Hallelujah. In verse 26 there, where we were reading about Jacob, and he said, let me go for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. So Jesus said to him, and I believe it's Jesus. That's the best I can do. What is your name? And he said, Jacob. I'm telling you, some of us have never gotten to this point. We've just been trying to hide it. And when Jacob asked, I believe Jesus, his name, Jesus wouldn't answer him. He said, why do you need to know that? To me, it's proof that it's Jesus. Jesus calls out Jacob's sin. Because Jacob's name told us his sin. And when Jacob said, what's your name? Jesus didn't say nothing. Oh, you all start getting it here in just a little bit. Because Jesus didn't have anything to say. Jesus didn't have anything to pin to his name. Jesus didn't have anything that made him guilty. Jesus didn't have any evil that was warring inside of him. That's what qualified him to take Jacob and turn him into Israel. Hallelujah. He said, no longer will you be called Jacob. He said, from now on, you're Israel. What does Israel mean, Randy? Because I don't know. Is it the, what is it? Somebody, what's Israel? Oh, come on. Are we all illiterate in Hebrews? Look it up for me, Randy. Father of nations. Do you know what Jacob means? Scoundrel. Deceiver. What's, there's another word that the Hebrew defines it. Supplanter. Jacob was a trickster. And Jesus said, what's your name? He said, it's Jacob. And Jesus didn't go into a long diatribe and tell him, oh yeah, you sure are. You tricked your brother. You tricked your dad. You tricked everybody, Jacob. You're a trickster. You're a deceiver. You're a liar. Jesus didn't go into all that. He just needed Jacob to say it. And that's where we're at. Some of us just need to say, I'm addicted to pornography. Now, I'm not. Some of y'all need to say that. I've told you all everything I've been addicted to and everything I've struggled with. I don't hide it. Because I have found that when we say what is going on, if we confess our sins one to another and pray for one another, we can be healed. But as long as we keep trying to cover it up, I don't want anybody to see me. I just want to put this mask on. What do you call somebody that wears a mask? A robber? Or a hypocrite? Saying one thing, but trying to act like something else. What is your name? I'm ashamed. Jesus bore it. I'm tormented. Jesus destroyed it. I'm addicted. Jesus unlocked the prison. He is so certain. I'm talking to you today about God versus evil. I can't tell you what it is that is between you and the Lord, but what I can tell you is that if you will come clean with Him, He is faithful. He is faithful. I can't even tell you all that God has brought me through over the last 30 years, but I'm telling you, He has brought me through. And if He did it for me, He'll do it for you. He did not throw me away when I was struggling. He did not kick me to the curb when I failed. There's people, I promise you, if people in leadership across the church knew some of the stuff that I've struggled with over the last 30 years, they'd say, you are disqualified for ministry. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus never said that. And it's funny because those that would say you're disqualified are guilty of some of the same things, but they've still got their mask on. I want to go one more place, maybe two, and I'll be quiet. Let's begin for part two of this sermon series in Psalm 16. Psalm 16. And then we'll go to Romans 8 real quick. And we'll wind down this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You see, this is why the Lord is trying to get us to allow Him to wrestle those things within us that are destroying us. He is trying to convince us that if we will let go of the reins and put them in His hands, that He is taking us to a good place. He's going to take us because this is what everything is about. I am convinced of this. I am more convinced of this than anything I'm convinced of besides the gospel. The reason that Jesus saves us is because He wants to bring us into intimacy with Him. He wants us to be intimate with the Father. He wants us to know God. You say, well, I don't think people can know God. Yes, we can. You were created to know God. And the Bible tells us at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. The reason that these things continue to stick with us and rule us and torment us and persuade us and dissuade us is because we have not experienced the pleasures that are forevermore in His presence. When we begin to experience the pleasures that are in His presence, that old song says it. The things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. The closer we get to Jesus, the less these things affect us. And that is what God is trying to do. He is trying to destroy the things that are hindering us from walking in this relationship. And I'm going to show you in Romans 8 and then I'm going to shut up. I'm just basically going to read this because if you'll look at it in that context, It's kind of like looking at Hebrews in the context that the writer is trying to convince some Hebrew Christians to not throw away their faith in Christ and go back into Judaism. If you read Hebrews in that context, it makes perfect sense. And if you read Romans 8 in the context that God is not out to destroy us, but He's out to destroy that which is destroying us, it makes perfect sense. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He intercedes for the holy ones according to the will of God. God is not calling us His enemy. He is calling us His holy ones. And we are holy because of what Jesus has done. He who knew no sin was made sin that we become the righteousness of God in Christ. We know that this, when you read it in this context, this stuff just blows my mind. We know that all things work together for good. Now, if you were evil and God was taking vengeance on His enemies, that would not be good. Can I hear an amen? But we know that all things work together for good. All things. So God is not out for our harm. Jesus is in the garden. He does not want to go to the cross. You guys are going through some stuff you don't want to go through. I know that. This week, I still don't know what I got in my eye. I got some chemical in my eye and burned it. And I probably should have went to the doctor because I didn't think it'd be that big a deal, but here it is almost a week later and it's still bothering me. Kathy just spent weeks in the hospital and you guys have been going through so much. I get that. We don't want to do this. But Jesus said, Father, if there's any other way, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Am I saying it was the will of God for me to get some chemicals in my eye? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God will take the chemicals that got in my eye and burned it. God will take that situation. God will take the situation that my wife just went through. God will take the situation that Linda's precious family is dealing with now and what Larry just went through and what so many others have been going through. God will take that and He promises, we know all things work together for good. Not just the good, but all things work together for good. How can God do that? I don't know. How's He going to do it? I don't know. All I know is that He will. How do I know that? Because He's good. And He loves me. I was praying this last week. And he called me by name. I heard him say my name. He knows you. He knows you. He knows you. And if you will take the time to get to know him, you will hear him say things to you that make you realize at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And it doesn't matter how smart I am. It doesn't matter how ingenuitive I am. It doesn't matter how gifted or talented or structural or all the things that people look at and say, that is to be commended. That is to be looked at with respect. I can just be what the world says is, I hate to say it, but I did grow up in Avant. And I love Avant, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying this might be offensive to somebody, but I've been called white trash my whole life. That's not offensive to me because he loves me. I don't care what the world calls me. I've been starting to carry around quarters in my pocket. When somebody says something ugly to me, I just pull a quarter out and I throw it to him, say, here. Here's a quarter. Call somebody who cares. Because I don't. I don't care. Try to offend me. I don't care. I just don't care. Your opinion means nothing to me. He knows my name. Some of the people that try to be ugly, they don't even know who I am. We know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Keep thinking along those lines. For those whom He foreknew, He predestined. There's Psalm 139 right there. For those who He foreknew, He predestined. Before you were ever born, He wrote about your life in a book. Before you were ever born, before you were ever in your mother's womb, He wrote a book about you. He knew what He wanted to do with your life. He said, well, I'm getting pretty old. I don't know. God can take the last few years of your life and do more than you've done with your entire life if you would just surrender today. You're going to be somewhere in 5 years, and a decision you make today will determine where that is. For those whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed, molded, shaped to the image of His Son, so that He might be the firstborn among many brethren, among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those who He called, He also justified. And those who He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is for us. He's executing vengeance on His enemies, and we're not it. Hallelujah. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what your family says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. If you are right with God, He said, who is going to accuse you before Me? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Messiah who died. Yes, who is risen, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, neither things present nor things to come, neither shall height nor depth nor any other thing be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Hallelujah. It's good news, folks. We win. I don't like it. I know you don't like it. I don't either. He didn't say we had to like it. Jesus didn't like it. He just said surrender. Because this thing will work out. There's a passage that says, this too shall pass. It's going to change. It's not over yet. I say every week I keep hoping that it's over. And then Monday proves that it's not. I'm hoping that tomorrow proves that it is. But I'm not holding my breath. Because I'm going to continue to press. Because I know who I am in him. And I know he's fighting for me. And he's fighting for you too. He's not mad at you. Quit thinking like that. Stop. Well, if I was a better person, none of these things would happen. If you were a better person, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. But the fact that Jesus died proves that we're not better people. None of us are. No one is righteous. No, not one. And when you think you are righteous, God said, your righteousness is as filthy rags. And I could break that down for you, but it's pretty nasty. It's okay. And it's going to be better. I'm going to shut up. I am soaking wet. Let's just stand to our feet. Why do you get so wound up? That's the Methodist in me. They say John Wesley used to preach for 4 hours. He's the one who started the Methodist Church. I'm just taking after my papa. Father, you're so good. Awaken us to righteousness, Lord. Awaken us to your goodness, God. Awaken us to the truth that you love us. God, you didn't tell us to come up to you. You came to us. You came to us, God in the flesh, to make us right with you. That is the gospel. And Lord, we believe the gospel. We believe it, Lord. We believe it. If you believe the gospel, just say it. I believe the gospel. I believe the gospel. I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, by faith we receive that. We believe the gospel, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help your people, that you would awaken us to the reality that you are fighting evil in our lives, God. You want rid of it because you know what it produces. And Father, we want to be the producer of your fruit. We want to do what you would have us to do, Lord. You are so good, God. Bless your people, Father, in that lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Prayer is always open. If people need prayer, you are free to come. If you guys...
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.